This is WFYI News Now. It's December 1st, and I'm Abrianna Heron. Later in the show, access to reproductive health care across the Midwest and South is changing, and it's led to some women and men to make permanent decisions.
I was like, you know, I actually want to talk about getting surgery. And the nurse just, she was surprised, and she was like, oh, okay.
That's coming up, but first, these headlines. Indiana University wasted little time finding a new head football coach. The school announced Thursday afternoon it hired James Madison University's Kurt Cignetti to succeed Tom Allen, who was fired Sunday after 7 seasons. The 62-year-old Cignetti had a 52-9 record in 5 seasons at JMU. He said in a post online that he's excited about the chance to join IU.
Who's your nation? Kurt Cignetti here, Coach Cig. I'm excited to get going. I'm all in. Look out for the Hoosiers. We're going to get this thing rolling one day at a time.
After leading the team at James Madison University to at least the Football Bowl Championship semifinals in his first 3 seasons, Cignetti oversaw the program's transition to the Sun Belt Conference in the Football Bowl subdivision 2 years ago. At Indiana, Cignetti will be tasked with improving a program that has won just 3 Big Ten games in the past 3 seasons. Attorney General Todd Rokita is under investigation again by the Indiana Attorney Disciplinary Commission weeks after the state Supreme Court publicly reprimanded him. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports the new inquiry is over Rokita's reaction to the public reprimand.
A few weeks ago, the state Supreme Court said Rokita violated professional conduct rules in his remarks about Dr. Caitlin Bernard after she provided abortion care to a 10-year-old Ohio rape victim. In a statement following the reprimand, Rokita said he admitted to the misconduct to save a lot of taxpayer money and distraction while maintaining he did nothing wrong. New complaints filed with the State Disciplinary Commission argue that response contradicted the affidavit Rokita agreed to in which he admitted to the misconduct. In a statement, the AG's office says Rokita cooperated with the original investigation into his remarks about Bernard, and that he said publicly that he's learned from the situation and, like everyone, can always do better. The commission can ultimately dismiss the new complaints or advance them for further investigation. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
The State Department of Education announced it will grant nearly $15 million to school corporations across the state to support literacy. Nearly $2 million will go to schools in Marion County, including the metropolitan school districts of Pike Township, Washington Township, and Wayne Township. Grant recipients propose to use the money to hire literacy instructional coaches and increase time spent with struggling readers between kindergarten and third grade. Education business and state leaders have made increasing literacy a major focus. Money for these new grants come from the state budget. And Indianapolis moved one step closer to the purchase of the Broad Ripple Park Family Center. WFYI's Jill Sheridan reports the measure uses tax increment financing, or TIF, to pay for the center, and many in the community are not happy.
A proposal passed by Metropolitan and Economic Development Committee will allow the use of $22 million from the Midtown TIF District to pay for the Family Center, which opened up this year in Broad Ripple. The Midtown TIF was created 10 years ago to benefit 5 neighborhoods. Councilor John Barr says that's what made it unique.
Neighborhoods aren't fighting each other for outfor resources, but instead they're using the TIF as a vehicle to ensure that a rising tide lifts all boats.
The Midtown Economic Council was set up to advise and manage project ideas, but many learned about the city plans just this month. Midtown Indy's Michael McKillop says the council didn't get a chance to weigh in.
It effectively ends a 25-year strategy. I think you will hear folks say that some revenue will be available, but the last 16 years of this TIF strategy has a lot of work to be done.
If the city does not purchase the center now, the price will increase. The measure unanimously passed the committee and heads to the full council. I'm Jill Sheridan, WFYI News.
And for our final story today, in states where abortion was restricted following the fall of Roe v. Wade, a growing number of people are seeking permanent contraception. Side Effects Public Media's Taylor Wisner reports.
Grace O'Malley sits in her living room with a cup of coffee. She sips and reflects on when she decided she didn't want to get pregnant. She has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, a genetic condition that weakens the body's connective tissue and can get much worse postpartum. Plus, her doctors told her if she did get pregnant, her uterus could rupture and she could have a premature baby. O'Malley was on hormonal birth control up until last May. But after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, she knew an abortion ban was likely coming in Ohio, and she might not be able to end a pregnancy if she needed to.
I was like, you know, I actually want to talk about getting surgery. And the nurse just, she was surprised, and she was like, oh, okay.
Dr. Clauda Malin checks off her to-do list after a morning surgery as an OB-GYN at MetroHealth Medical Center in Cleveland. She says since the Dobbs ruling came down, many of her patients have been seeking more permanent solutions.
Some patients will say, like, oh, could you stash some IUDs for me? You know, like, they'll really, they get very nervous that it's just going to go away overall. And so nobody can reimplant your tube once it's been taken out. So I think that they have that comfort of there's no way anybody can take this part away from me.
Legislators in some Midwest states have floated bans on birth control. So far, they haven't gone anywhere. But the fear is real. What Mullen is seeing in Cleveland is part of a national trend. The Kaiser Family Foundation surveyed more than 500 gynecologists across the country in the spring. More than 40% of doctors surveyed reported an increase in patients asking for sterilization since Dobbs. That includes states in the Midwest and South, where abortion is banned with very limited exceptions, and states like Ohio, Iowa, and Wisconsin, where bans sit on shifting sands. Ohio voters, though, recently approved an amendment to the state constitution which guarantees access to abortion. There aren't many big health risks to tubal sterilization. Doctors mostly worry about regret. But the majority of patients are like O'Malley. She had some complications post-surgery, but says she never second-guessed her decision.
I've never really thought about it, honestly. It's just kind of been, it's become kind of a fact of my daily life. It's like, hi, I'm Grace, I have red hair and I can't have kids.
Some men are also changing their contraception patterns. Dr. Sarah Swigert, a urologist at Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, says they've performed double the number of vasectomy consults and procedures as they had before the ruling. She points to a Cleveland Clinic study, which showed the average age of men getting the procedure has dropped from late 30s to mid-30s following the court decision. The study also showed an uptick among men who had never had kids. She's seen that trend firsthand in her practice.
I think as more women speak out about perhaps not wanting to be on various forms of birth control for decades, I think that men are more aware of vasectomies and perhaps are sort of doing their part, so to speak.
Vasectomies are generally safer than female sterilization and have a much quicker recovery. But Mullen isn't surprised that so many women want the procedure themselves. They are the ones who would have to carry the pregnancy and handle the ensuing health impacts. O'Malley feels that acutely. She has been in vulnerable situations in the past. She was sexually assaulted in college and went through a period where she was homeless.
I would want to know that I was going to be safe and I wasn't going to end up in a situation where I was pregnant and I would have no path to go.
She says her choice was an act of self-protection. I'm Taylor Wisner, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. It's based here at WFYI. That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Darian Benson, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Abriana Heron. Our news director is Sarah Neal Estes. If you like today's episode, remember to subscribe and share and find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more local news and headlines.